getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker. Today we're talking about Father's Day after divorce and how divorce changes being a father. Now, Mother's Day and Father's Day go hand in hand, right? Well, it seems like it should, but not really. For me, they've never gotten equal footing. I grew up in England, as you can probably tell. Mother's Day is actually called Mothering Sunday there. It's part of the formal church calendar. It's the Church of England calendar. It's the fourth Sunday in Lent. And because the Queen is the head of the Church of England, it has really does have official holiday status. There's never any Father's Day in the church calendar. There still isn't. So I don't even remember celebrating Father's Day as a kid growing up. Now, Mother's Day here in the U.S. is not part of the church calendar. It's the second Sunday of May. And Father's Day is the third Sunday in June. They're both now heavily commercialized, but still, Father's Day seems like it gets second billing, or it's an afterthought to try and even things up in our quest for gender equalities. And that's really how my guest today feels too. My guest is Kyle Bradford, better known on social media as Chopper Papa, and author of the Chopper Papa blog. Welcome, Kyle.
Thanks a lot, Mandy. Very happy to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, Kyle, you wrote this awesome post just recently about Father's Day, and I was really interested to hear your thoughts about Father's Day. And I wondered if you could just start by sharing with our listeners, if you could relive the first Father's Day after your divorce, what you were feeling, and how did it differ from when you were married?
Well, you know, it's a great question, Mandy. And, you know, we're talking 10 years ago when that happened, and it was just a couple of months after our divorce at the time had been finalized. My children were very young. When I got divorced, my son was just 9 months old, and my daughter was just over 2, going on 3. And, you know, it was somewhat surreal. You know, my whole divorce situation was one where I was left for someone else. And that man ended up becoming a fixture in my children's lives, really, before the divorce took place. So from the moment that, you know, our separation was made public and legal, he became a fixture and in their lives and has remained there to this very day. So, you know, as we approached the first Father's Day, it was a surreal. I think it's probably the best way to put it, because while I knew that I was my kid's dad, they couldn't articulate that other than, you know, through the name and so forth, I knew there was someone else there as well, that while they may not have saw him as a father, he was filling that role for me when I was not there.
Right.
And, you know, in all complete candidness, Mandy, I mean, it was a bit heartbreaking, because I remember their mother writing him a father, having him, you know, have a Father's Day celebration, a Father's Day card for him. And, you know, I got to tell you, that'll take the wind out of your sails.
Absolutely.
There's no question about that.
So, it sounds like he was, like, really quickly substituted for you.
Well, you know, I've said it before in some of my writings, and, you know, I actually shared this once with my ex-wife a couple of years ago. You know, it was as if, you know, I moved out, or you know, we separated, sold the house, she moved into another place, and simply took all of our family pictures and cut my face out of it and put it in. And that's really how it felt, because I was so quickly replaced. There was no transition period. It was literally me one day and quite frankly, him the next. So you know, it took the wind out of my sails. You know, it's it's humiliating, it's embarrassing, but ultimately I think it wreaks havoc on you, because as a dad specifically, I think it's the same for moms, but as a dad, I mean, you know, there's a lot of pride there. You see yourself as the provider and as the protector, and now suddenly there's somebody else that's kind of doing it when you're not there or when the kids are not with you. It'll take you down a notch. There's no question about that. And I had to certainly reevaluate what fatherhood meant for me, and it's been a long process to get where I am today.
So, Kyle, on that first Father's Day, were your children with you?
Yes, they were with me. I can't remember, man, it's been so long ago, whether or not Father's Day landed on my weekend or hers, but in subsequent years, and in fact, it's very interesting, so Father's Day is going to be in a couple of Sundays, it's actually their mother's weekend with them. However, they will be spending that day with me.
Right.
That's kind of the agreement that we've had. But, you know, today, and it's just to kind of share with you how far I've come, you know, it's important for them to now do some sort of Father's Day event with their stepdad. Took a long time to get
there. So I was going to say, you have come a long way, Kyle.
Yeah, it was not always that way, I can assure you.
Right. So it sounds like you and your ex have found a way of compromising so that even though it's her weekend, she's honoring the fact that you are your children's biological father, and Father's Day is a day to especially honor that.
That's right. You know, I don't think that overall there was an intentional effort to really replace me. You know, I mean, I could certainly feel that way, and you know, there was emotions running that may have led me to that, you know, to those thoughts, but I think ultimately she didn't want to replace me. But, you know, there was this man there and you know, how he's, you know, providing, you know, he's a father figure to them. How do you balance the two? So, you know, I say all that just simply because as time has gone on, we now have kind of gotten into a routine of, you know, it's expected on Mother's Day that they will be with her, Father's Day they'll be with me, and then you know, they'll simply have to arrange something with their stepdad.
Right.
So, yeah, we've worked it out, but it hasn't been easy. It didn't come all at once, but over time we've certainly got to where we are now.
And certainly for listeners who are just going through divorce right now, that's something to think about if you are creating a written parenting agreement, is to put in there that the children will spend Mother's Day with mother and Father's Day with father, regardless of, and those arrangements take priority over other sort of the regular parenting time arrangement.
But, you know, I think that due to you know, based on your introduction and you were spot on, based on the commercial aspects of it and really the importance and place around it, it should be treated like a holiday. Whether that be Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever holidays, you know, that those individuals might celebrate, I think it should be treated the same.
Do you think that, let me ask you this, Kyle, does Father's Day mean as much to men as Mother's Day means to women?
I can only say it from my perspective. I can say that when you have the chance of having that removed, taken from you, yeah, I think it becomes pretty important. You know, I remember having Father's Day, Mandy, with my kids over the years, and it's not like we did anything. It's not like, you know, we did something to celebrate. It was just the fact that, you know, it was my day. And, you know, they were with me. You know, we may never leave the house. But it was just simply, you know, the fact of, you know, when your time as a divorced father, when your time is court ordered, right, when you're reduced to what I call the four-letter word of visitation, those days become very important. At
right.
least they were to me.
Right.
And, you know, I was going to ensure that I took advantage of them, even if it simply meant, you know, playing out in the front yard. So, you know, at least from my perspective it is, I don't think that, generally speaking, Father's Day probably has the same sentimentality as Mother's Day does. And I think that's probably part of the way that men are hardwired. We're just not quite that sentimental. But, you know, for speaking from a divorced father, it was pretty doggone important to me.
And your recent blog post about Father's Day, you said that single fathers really do not have the best reputation. And some of that is called for, some of it's not. But you think it's important for men who are becoming single dads, newly single dads, they have to understand that the deck is really stacked against them from day one. Yeah. And I wanted, you know, what does that look like? Can you give us some examples of how we as a society really don't respond very well to single fathers?
Well, I mean, you simply can go to any of our media websites. You can go and watch television, whether it be commercials, whether it be television shows of any kind. More often than not, divorced or single dads are portrayed in a negative light. They're inept. You know, they don't know how to take care of their kids. You know, they don't know how to change diapers. They don't know how to, you know, do some of the basic functions that a parent would do. And, you know, quite often divorced moms are seen as the victims.
Right.
Let's be quite frank. I mean, I would say this, Mandy, and, you know, I like to speak in generalities at times. I mean, if you were to go out and poll just 800 random people and talk about, you know, and give an example of a divorce situation, chances are more often than not, the reason why a couple got divorced is because the father did something wrong or the husband did something wrong. Not saying always, but I'm saying more often than not that's the case. Especially if it's a situation with children. The mother is seen as the victim, the father, he was unattentive, you know, he was abusive, and obviously those things happen. But as a divorced dad, I would say this, and I talk to divorced fathers, and I have those conversations, you better be intentional. From the moment that you're divorced, just know that as a divorced dad, you are going to be looked at less than.
Maybe
in some way or another.
So, Kyle, I think that intention needs to start sooner than – you can't wait until your divorce is final to start being intentional about being a father. That has to come into the discussions about parenting. The time to step up is – as you start talking through, how are you going to still function as parents together even after the divorce?
Well, I think, Mandy, in a perfect world, you're absolutely right. That's what should happen. I think, though, that in the real world, so often men are caught off guard by the fact that they're going to get divorced. You know, 75% of the time, I think the latest numbers show that the wives are the ones that actually initiate the divorce anyway. Most men are caught off guard. I've yet to meet a man, a father, a divorced guy, who's told me, I knew she was going to divorce me like a year ago. This is not, it doesn't happen that way. The guy wakes up and he goes, I didn't know anything was wrong. I thought we were great. Yeah, we had some problems, but. So by the time he's actually, you know, he's reeling from this new reality, most of these guys don't have the vision enough to be able to think clearly. They're just picking themselves up off the floor. But you're absolutely right. I mean, in a perfect situation, there would be a lot more thought about those types of things. You know, what should it look like for me, you know, in this co-parenting relationship? One of the biggest mistakes that I made, when I got divorced, I lived 7.2 miles from my ex-wife.
So you were
If I had to do it all over again, I would live in her same neighborhood.
Okay.
I would live in her school district. One of the biggest pieces of advice.
So you went in the same school district.
No. I live in the metro Atlanta. You know, right. You drive 10 miles and you go through three different school districts.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it's a very condensed, compact city. But, you know, 7 miles and I was on three different school districts. You know, there was two school districts between us. And, you know, it proves to be very difficult, and here's why. Because, you know, even 7 miles is not a long ways. You know, they were in her school district. That's where they create all their friendships.
Right.
That's where, you know, the buses dropped them off at.
Right.
So it ended up making a lot of work for me. I was having to go back and forth. All the birthday parties were over there.
Right.
You know, all the sleepovers were over there.
So when they came to you for weekends, you were driving them back to their home base or their home area so they could have play dates.
That's exactly right.
So your advice is to stay as, at least try and stay in the same school district as where your children are.
Absolutely. And I've given that advice to other men before. I mean, I know that you probably feel like you want to get as far away from them as possibly can. And I totally get that. But if you want to be an involved father in your kid's life, and you really want them to view your home as their home, the more that you can acclimate your environment to their environment, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. And, Kyle, I can echo that because my ex ended up moving. He's probably less than a mile from my house. And my kids were 11 and 14 when we split up. So they were pretty able to go back and forth between the two houses on their own accord. And I think that that made it really easy for them to have two homes.
And for
the situation to be flexible and to be fluid.
Yeah. No, that was probably one of the bigger mistakes that I made. Like, if I had to do it all over again tomorrow, I would move as close to her as possible, and without question in her school district, just without question.
Right. Well, Kyle, let's just take a break for a moment, and then I'll come back with some more questions for you. Listeners, I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about Father's Day and the impact that divorce has on being a father. My guest today is Kyle Bradford, a.k.a. Chopper Papa. Kyle writes about being a father, a husband, and an ex at his blog, chopperpapa.com. And, Kyle, you have a podcast you'd like to share with our listeners.
So, you know, much like yourself, you know, I enjoy having intelligent conversations about what I think things that matter. And a couple of years ago, you know, through my writings and through, you know, reaching out and talking to other dads out in the blogosphere, I recognize there's a lot of men out there that are thinking really deeply about issues of fatherhood and masculinity. And, you know, I wanted to have an opportunity to capture that information, you know, and really hopefully, you know, provide a venue so that they can share their thoughts with others. So about 2.5 or so years ago, I created a podcast called Fatherhood Wide Open. And, you know, it's really, you know, it's intelligent conversations on issues facing fatherhood and masculinity with the people who are thinking right on them. And, you know, through, you know, the course of the last several years, I've come in contact with some wonderful, you know, thoughtful, intelligent men who are really sharing their ideas about fatherhood masculinity with the world. And, you know, I'll tell you, I've never come away from a conversation with them where I have not learned something. So, you know, it's probably more beneficial for me than it is for anyone else, but it's something that I've gotten a great amount of joy in doing.
Well, Kyle, I am sure that your listeners get a lot from Fatherhood Wide Open, and listeners, you can subscribe to that through iTunes. Give it a try. Because Kyle, I love his writing. I haven't listened to your podcast yet, Kyle, but now that I know about it, I'm going to listen to it. So let me ask you a question here. You also wrote that when you're married, the fact that you're married and you have some spouse in the house to help with the parenting, it gives you the luxury of hiding behind them, and your wife might shield you from that. Is that what you experienced?
So, you know, for me, so I've been remarried now for just over a year. In fact, our anniversary was just recently.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Made it through the first year. That's all that's tough. We've been together for nearly 7, so we waited a long time before we actually got married. You know, I mean, the thing that was difficult for me once we got married as it relates to being a father, and to be in all transparency, it's still difficult today. I did not realize how hard being a stepfather would be. Completely underestimated. And that whole dynamic differs with people. I mean, no two people have the same experience, and I understand right. that. But where the crux of my challenge has been, and what it still is today, it really is this simple. I hold my stepkids to a higher standard than I do my own. And I'll give you an example.
Thank you.
My two biological kids can do anything. They can do something, and, you know, I might respond like, don't do that, like, you know, and maybe, you know, chastise them or whatever. One of my stepkids can do it, the exact same thing, and I have a completely different reaction. You know, I'm overly sensitive to the fact that they did it. You know, I expect more of them. I expect them to be perfect. I expect them never to talk back. I expect them to always do the dishes. So I've got these expectations of them that I don't have of my biological kids, and I have yet to figure out why. But it's been very difficult for me. You know, they can leave a dirty dish in the sink, and I'll respond differently than if one of my biological kids did.
Huh.
It's the craziest thing. I don't understand it, but it's something that I've had to be very intentional about and recognize that when I see that in myself, I've got to do something about it.
Right.
And my wife is the same way with my biological kid.
Okay.
So that's a dynamic that we both share.
It's an interesting observation. What about when you were first separated? And I'm thinking that, I mean, I think that this happens to moms as well as dads, but I think that and I remember like being on my own in the house with the kids thinking, oh my God, I'm the only adult here. Can I do this? And you know, when you have your kids as a single parent, you are on. There isn't any falling back on somebody to say, hey, do you think you can get, you know, bath them or cook dinner? I'm really exhausted. You are on. And so you have to, I think, step up your game.
Oh, there's no question about that. You know, as I said earlier, my kids were very young when we separated or our divorce was finalized. And, you know, I still remember very clearly giving my 9-month-old bottle, changing their diapers, going out and having to buy high chairs and buy baby bottles because she kept all that stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I was a bachelor. I was a kid. I was a father with a bachelor pad. We didn't have those things. And, you know, I had no family in the area. You know, my parents lived, you know, 4 hours away. So I was doing it on my own. And I've done it on my own the entire time. Is it overwhelming? Sure. I mean, you can certainly let yourself get caught into that. But I got to tell you, Andy, I'm a far better dad because of it.
Yeah.
Far better. It forced me, quite frankly, to be more engaged with them because, you know, you can't just go in the other room and turn the TV on and act like they're not there. They will chase you down, and they know where you're at, and they will find you, and you will have to give them attention. There's no one else there to do it. And, you know, I look back on it now, and I've written about this before. When it comes to being a dad, okay, when it comes to being a dad, my divorce is the best thing that ever happened.
Wow. I have heard so many people tell me that they feel, and I'm one of them, that I think that I am a better parent because it means that, you know, when my children were with me, I had to focus on them. And I do think that part of the reason that we're able to do that is that you do get this chunk of time, or I did. I know it doesn't happen for everybody, but I did have this chunk of time where I was on my own and I didn't have my kids. And that meant that I could, you know, get my chores done and the other items done so that when I did have them, or I knew when they were coming here that I would need to focus on them.
No, it's one of the dirty, dark little secrets of divorce, you know, that nobody wants to really talk about. I mean, if you have a good co-parenting relationship, being a divorced parent is not necessarily all that bad. I mean, you do periods of a break where you can do your own thing and have relationships and date, not have to worry about tracking down babysitters and stuff. So, you know, it's a dark, dirty little secret that nobody wants to talk about, but it's there. And, you know, I know that not every single and divorced parent has that luxury, But you're absolutely right. You can recharge your batteries, and then when you have the kids the next time, then, you know, it's all about them.
Right. I've also seen where I think when you're married, your kids have a relationship with mom and dad as a unit, and they see their parents as a unit, as a united front. And then when you divorce, there's this renegotiation that goes on, so that you as a parent, you have to very consciously work to reestablish a direct relationship with your children as two separate units now.
Well, you know, I've written on that. I'll probably say this more than once on our conversation, but I look at it this way. I mean, and speaking from a father, motherhood casts a very, very long shadow, especially when your children are young. I mean, you know, fatherhood gets kind of lost in that shadow. It takes a long time for that father to really build a relationship with their children. When you are a divorced dad, that shadow is gone. When you're with your children, it's just you, man. I mean, there's nobody else there. You know, if something goes wrong, if, you know, if Johnny skins their knee or, you know, Cindy falls down the stairs or something, you're the one that needs to be there. So you're put outside of your comfort zone very quickly. And I think that's good for us. Because I recognized shortly, you know, it didn't take long after I got divorced to recognize that I could do things that I probably could not, or more importantly, would not have done as a married father, because there was somebody else there that could probably do it better than I could at the time.
Can you give me an example?
I mean, anything. I mean, I did not grow up with a very, my father was not affectionate at all. You know, he was somewhat with my sister, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, with me, he was not. I did not want my children to have that same type of remembrance of their dad. And so, you know, when your child is sick or they hurt themselves or something and they're with you, you know, that child needs to be mothered. I mean, let's just call it how it is. So you as a dad, you're really forced into being that mother role while they're with you. So you're kissing boo-boos now, and you're rocking them in your arms now, and you're doing the things that, quite honestly, if you were married, mom's going to do that.
Right.
But when you're a divorced dad, you don't have the option, man. That's you.
So are we changing the fatherhood role? Is that changing?
Well, I think that there's a lot of men out there that want it to change. I'll tell you that there's certainly a lot of men out there that are trying to gain a little more respect for fatherhood than it probably has been getting. You know, I mean, most of your comedies show fatherhood as being a bunch of dunces, just like single dads, right? I mean, the guy can't even, you know, put his clothes on, right? How's he going to take care of kids? But, you know, listen, man, I mean, the research is indisputable. Children that grow up without an active, involved father in their lives don't do good in life.
Right.
I mean, you can't deny the results. You can't deny that a boy, and I'm talking about, we're just talking about boys, a boy who grows up without a father figure in his life has a higher chance of getting in trouble in school, dropping out of school, getting involved in gangs, you know, getting involved in relationships before they should, whether that be sexual activity, whatever. Same thing with girls. A girl that does not have an active father figure in her life, her future is going to be far darker than it would otherwise. You can't deny that. I mean, just look around us. Look at the problem today that, you know, 40% of children today are born without an active father in their lives. They're raised without that. Play that movie to the end.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Right.
And unfortunately, it's a repeating cycle. More often than not, if a boy does not have a father figure in his life, he's not going to be a good dad. He had nothing to play off of. He had no role model to go to. He had no, you know, rule book to go off of.
So, Kyle, do you have an answer to that?
I mean,
longer than our podcast will allow.
I mean, that's $1 million question,
yeah.
Quite honestly. I think it, first off, it has to start with men, like it's going today, but that's going to have to be it's going to have to be a louder voice, all right? I mean, there are far too many deadbeat dads out there today. Far too many. Too many dads who go about life with children that they have, wherever they may be, without any involvement with them at all. Those individuals need to be shamed into doing and living up to their responsibility. I believe that's the only way you get them to move, okay? It starts there. But, I mean, unfortunately, the ship has sailed.
Yes.
I mean, how do you turn around after we know that 40% or so of men now are not taking responsibility in their children's lives? How do you change that?
Well, Kyle, I think that you are helping to change that. And by speaking out about fatherhood, about encouraging men who are going through divorce to step up to being a father and to be actively involved in their children's lives. And Kyle, I really want to thank you for being my guest today.
My pleasure, Mandy. Thank you for the work that you're doing, and I appreciate it being on your program.
Great. Listeners, my guest was blogger Kyle Bradford. You can follow Kyle on Twitter, Facebook, and his blog as Chopper Papa. And don't forget his podcast on iTunes, Fatherhood Wide Open. Do take a listen to that. And this is, as Kyle was saying, experts agree that children do best when both parents are actively involved in their parenting. And that starts with a commitment from you to being the best parent you can be. And I want to encourage you that if you've seen that your ex has made that commitment, then you have a moral responsibility to support their involvement in your child's life. Dads, this Father's Day, I hope you'll take pride in your role and appreciate the gifts you bring to your child. I want to honor you for being part of your child's life. And moms, I would like you to help your children to honor their father and to celebrate all that he does for them. And I wish you all a happy Father's Day. Thank you for listening. I'm Mandy Walker. You'll find a wealth of divorce-related information at my website, sincemydivorce.com, including my free download, Untangling from Your Spouse, How to Prepare for Divorce. You can also follow me as Since My Divorce on Twitter and Facebook. And I hope you'll join us next time for more conversations about divorce.